Amen. Man, what an amazing time of worship this morning. Amen. He is faithful, and I don't think we could ever praise him enough for his faithfulness, for his consistency to us, and his ability to, man, just take the chaos and use it for his glory and our blessing. I'm amazed at the way that God works in our lives. As we were singing that, and I was thinking about what I was already planning on sharing this morning as a praise, so thankful to have Deborah Edgerton with us today. Many of you know she was in a really bad accident back in August, riding a four-wheeler and was rear-ended by an SUV, if I remember right. Lots of months of physical therapy, lots of healing, but man, she's with us today, and we're so thankful to have you here, Deb, and praise the Lord for his goodness in us. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand this morning. These guys would want to make sure this is mentioned as well. Deborah was relatively fine. Some bruises, some things of that nature, but she was doing really well right after. So what a praise to how God watches over us in those seasons and those moments. And so this morning, we are excited to dive into our message. Give them something to eat is what we're going to be talking about this morning. Give them something to eat. And I am so thankful for Thanksgiving. Amen. Because that image on the screen, now I know what you're thinking. You're like, that don't look like my house. There's no paper plates, right? There's no plastic silverware. Like, some of you guys do it up real nice. Some of you are like Sandra and I. We're like, here's the paper plates. It's on the stove. Help yourself. Like, just make sure you leave enough for us. But no, I was so thankful for Thanksgiving and all the great food this time of year, all the celebrations that many of us will be partaking in, some of us on Thursday, some have already had some Thanksgiving time, some will in the weekend after Thanksgiving, but it's a great time to enjoy food, family, and friends. Maybe some of you are traveling, you're going to be going out of town to see family, or you're traveling out of state. Whatever it looks like this Thanksgiving, primarily Thanksgiving is about being thankful for all the many ways the Lord has blessed and cared for us over the last year. And I know that sometimes in life, it's hard during the seasons we're in to say, man, Lord, is there really anything I can be thankful for? But I truly believe that if we are in Christ and we genuinely put thought into it, I know based on God's word, we will find things to be thankful for. We will always be thankful. And if all you can say is, I'm thankful for the salvation that Jesus Christ has given me, then you have enough to praise. You have enough to be thankful. And so this time of year is all about being thankful. But also this time of year, as I mentioned already, is all about the food. And I'm so thankful for the food. And so I want to ask a question this morning. You can answer because we know the truth. Here's the kind of the unspoken truth of Thanksgiving. Now, some of you may disagree with this, but I think it's pretty well accepted. And it might be a hot take. I don't know. Thanksgiving is more that train with me. Thanksgiving is more about the sides than the turkey. How many absolute turkey lovers, you don't care about the sides? We'll pray for you, okay? God bless you, okay? God bless you. Bob's just thankful for the turkey because he's not sure about the pumpkin pie. Amen, Bob? Amen. He can tell you more about that later. I didn't make a pumpkin pie. That's not what that's about. I don't make pies, okay? If it's frozen and all I got to do is turn the oven on and put it in the oven, there's going to be a problem. Like, somewhere between that process, I'm going to ruin the situation. So, but I want to ask, because I'm a big sides guy. And the best thing about Thanksgiving is not even Thanksgiving. It's the days after. And you go in the fridge and you get that side out, right? And it's kind of congealed a little bit, but it's all good because you got a microwave and you just like slop it all on one big plate. Some of you are like, my food can't touch. Sorry, it all touches. It all goes on the same plate. I'm putting stuff on top of it. It's glorious. But I want to ask, what is your favorite side at Thanksgiving? Someone give me an answer. What's your favorite side? John Belasco, what do you got? Sweet potatoes. Any sweet potato fans? Do you do the marshmallow stuff on top? Okay. I'm a molasses, brown sugar, right? Sweet potatoes. You can keep the marshmallows. They're fine, but with that much, I mean, you got molasses, brown sugar, and sweet potatoes. I don't know if I need more marshmallow sugar on top of that, but praise the Lord for his grace and his ability to heal. Amen. Because food comes on quick after Thanksgiving. You're just like, oh, that was a bad idea. Anyone else? Sides? Yeah. Green bean casserole. Okay. Any green bean casserole lovers in the place? You got to do the French's little onion things on top, right? You feeling me? Okay. Kendra's over here. She's like, uh-huh, yep, keep coming. Yep, okay, yep, more. What else you got? Anyone else? Sides? Yeah. Monkey bread. Any monkey bread lovers in the house? Monkey bread? What, a couple of hands? Okay, Evan, I was pulling for you. I didn't see a lot of hands at first. I was like, oh. Anyone else? Corn casserole. Corn casserole. Anyone? Corn casserole. Okay. Any other ones back there? Any sides? Yeah. What's that? Stuffing. Finally. Now, okay. Now here's the thing. Are we talking stovetop? Or are we talking like rip the bread up, actually stuff the turkey? Okay. Who's my stovetop people? You take stovetop over the real stuff. When I was a kid, my mom used to make us like literally, like I think it was like two loaves of bread. Just tear bread, tear bread, tear bread. People are like, why don't you like real stuffing? I'm like, this trauma of when I was like 8 years old ripping bread for 2 hours. I can just open a box, dump it in some hot water, and it's done. Like, we're good. Like, stovetop is awesome. And as you think about all of this, and there's desserts, right? We all love the desserts and all that. And, what's that? Oh, appetizers. I thought she said cabbage tenders. I was like, I don't know. I've had a lot of Thanksgiving meals. I've never had cabbage tenders. I don't know. Some of you should Google that. Maybe that's a thing. I don't know. Robbie's like, please don't make cabbage tenders, Kendra. Please. I don't want to try cabbage tenders. No, appetizers, right? The pre-meal meal. You know what I'm saying? Because they get into the Leon a little early, right? So you get the appetizers going a little bit. You got to prep yourself, get kind of worked into the situation. But I absolutely love the whole idea of just getting together and just enjoying a meal together. And so as we think about that, and we think about all of the food and all the good times and all that, and maybe you think back to when you were a kid, maybe your mom or your dad is no longer with us. They've gone on to be with the Lord. But you think back to those times when you were a kid and the smells from the kitchen that would just permeate the entire house, the whole neighborhood, right? Like everyone knew that your mom or your grandma or whoever was making that famous dish. And so there's so many parts of this season that just bring us great joy. And of course, there are tough times and tough seasons and all of that. We don't ignore that. But I think it's okay to say along with the tough times, man, God's been good and there's some good memories and we can enjoy this time of year and be thankful. And so as you think about all of that, and we think about all the different sides that are available to us, and mine's easy. I like all of them. Maybe not cabbage tenders, but I like all the sides. I like all the different sides. It's all good. But as we think about that, and think about that idea of the meal that we're going to partake in, I want to ask a question as we think about these delicious meals. We need to realize that not only can we give people physical food to eat this Thanksgiving, but we can also see there's a spiritual hunger in our world today. And we can give people something to eat spiritually. Now, I want to look at an example in Scripture. Now, this is an example of a physical feeding of need. They really were physically hungry and Jesus met this need. But I want to take in principle some things we see here in Matthew chapter 14. And then we're going to go in just a little bit to John 6. And so we're going to kind of take some two different texts. I want to draw out some principles here that I believe we can apply to our lives today. So John chapter 14, and if you'd like to follow along, there's an outline on the app. You can go on our app, North Carolina BC, in your app store. You can find an outline with today's notes on it. The scripture references is there. There's some fill in the blanks there. That's available to you again, just on our app. You go to media, message notes, and there in the seats around you, there are some Bibles. If you would feel comfortable using one or need one, please grab one and use one. That's what they're there for. And if you're going to use one of the Bibles provided, you can just turn to page 682 in the Bibles in the seats there. Matthew chapter 14, and we're going to begin in verse 14. That's a familiar text, but I want to encourage you to really ask the Lord to speak through the heart of this in what Jesus is really doing here. Matthew chapter 14, verse 14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Now, I want to focus on verse 14. What's the key there? Not the healing of the sick, but the compassion of the Savior. The healing is amazing. God is a miraculous God who can heal anyone at any time of his choosing. However, he may choose to heal them by taking them home. He may choose to heal this side of heaven. He may choose to heal through a doctor's intervention, but he also may choose to heal by just taking that person home to be with him. And we don't know his will in every situation, so we pray what we believe his will is, and we entrust him to do what he needs to do. But the key in that is not so much the healing of the sick. That's miraculous. But the greater miracle is the compassion of the Savior towards sinners. Think about this. He's compassionate towards us, a sinner. We don't deserve his compassion. We don't deserve his mercy. We don't deserve his grace. We don't deserve his empathy towards our situation. But he, as the creator God who formed you and has given you physical life so that you might come to know him and have spiritual eternal life, he shows compassion. Are you thankful for the compassion of the Lord this Thanksgiving? I'm so thankful for his compassion. And don't let it be a simple thing, because his compassion led Jesus to the cross. And it was that cross that brought us salvation by his death, burial, and resurrection. Verse 15. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the..." Verse 16. But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." And they said unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's plenty to Jesus. He said, "Bring them hither to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. I absolutely love this story. He sits them down. He takes the food. He prays. He asks the Father to intervene. And there's a miracle. And by the way, this is why we pray before we eat. If you ever wondered why do we pray before we eat, because that's the model we see Jesus partake in. Multiple times Jesus prayed before he broke the bread. Jesus sought the Father before he partook in food. And so that's why we follow that as an example of prayer before we eat. But here we see the great compassion on this multitude. And so I want to pray and ask the Lord to affirm his word in our hearts and minds, and then walk through how we have been given an opportunity to feed the multitude what they need. Father, we thank you for your amazing love. We thank you for your great compassion. Lord, so often when we're saved for a long period of time, we start to think that we actually have earned or somehow deserve your compassion, your grace, your mercy. We start to compare, and we're not as bad as them, and we weren't as bad as them, and we never did this. But Father, what a dangerous place to be as a follower of Christ. May we always be in shock by the grace of God for us. May we always be in awe and reverence and praise for the undeserving grace you've extended to us. We know, Lord, that we in your word are called your crowning creation, that you formed us, you love us. You have a plan and a purpose for us. You desire that we would come to know you. John chapter 14, that where you are, we will be also. And so we know that we are valuable, intrinsically valuable to you as your creation. But Father, we also know that in sin, we have rebelled and broken your law and walk away from you and your ways. We consistently do the things that displease the Father. And so, Lord, because of our sin, we deserve wrath and punishment and judgment, separation from you. But, Father, in your great compassion, you extended to us an invitation of salvation. That anyone, and what an amazingly compassionate word anyone is, anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord may be saved. We sang it this morning. It's not my strength holding me. It's your strength holding me to you. And so, Father, I pray that if there's somebody here who doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, they would come to know you today before they leave this place. But, Father, for the believer today, the one that is in Christ, that we can extend to those who are hungry, Lord, starving. And so, Lord, I pray that we would realize that during this time of year, and, Lord, not just the holiday season, but year-round, we have been given the food, the spiritual food, that so many hunger for. And Lord, may we choose to not gorge ourselves on the food that we've been given and forget there are so many who are going hungry. So Father, again, would you give wisdom and guidance? Would you affirm your word in our hearts and minds? And again, all of this for your glory and your praise, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Here in Matthew chapter 14, we see the miraculous feeding of the 5,000. The disciples wanted to send the multitudes away, just send the crowds away. It's been long enough. There's a couple reasons that have been suggested. One, they realized they didn't have food to feed them all. We don't have the food they need, so just send them away into the villages and local towns, and they can go buy their own food. They can go to Burger King or McDonald's and get their own meal. We don't have it. Not only do we not have the food, we don't have the money to pay for the food for all these people. Some others have suggested maybe their motivation was not simply that they didn't know where the food would come from, but they wanted some alone time with Jesus. They wanted some time away from the crowds. They were a little tired. They've just done a lot of ministry as well, and they want to kind of just relax. And so, Lord, send them away. It's been long enough. We know they'll be back. They'll be back in the morning. Just send them away. But Jesus' response is not to send them away, but to give them what they desperately need. Well, they need food. So he says, give them food. Verse 16. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give ye them to eat. I want to use that as a principle for us this morning. And not so much physically giving them what to eat, but spiritually realizing there are people that are hungry today. In our world today, with everything going on, and this isn't new, this has been since Genesis 3. There's always been, in our world, since the fall of man in Genesis 3, for something more than this world. And our world around us is struggling and longing for something more than this world and the things of this world and the supposed peace that comes in this world, which comes through relationships, finances, careers, achievements. And what's amazing to me is that no matter how many times history has shown us that every single one of those things can be taken away in an instant, we continually pursue those things with everything we have, thinking, finally, that will fulfill, that will satisfy. If I just get that promotion, if I just get that bigger house, if I just get that relationship, and we think it will work. And every single time it satisfies for a season. And then we find ourselves longing again. We find ourselves wanting more. Our world is hungry, and spiritually speaking, they are starving. And that hunger becomes more and more evident with every passing day. People are really hungry for hope. The hope of what? But this isn't all there is. A hope that goes beyond the White House. The hope that goes beyond your checking account. The hope that goes beyond your health right now because you're fearful it may change. A hope for something more, a peace that passes understanding. John 14, 27. He says, I give peace unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That word troubled means anxious. Jesus says to the disciples, you're going to be anxious, you're going to be stressed, you're going to be tried, but don't let it overtake you. I'm giving you peace through the Spirit that will comfort you. And that's the food that we have to offer, that peace. Love, not the world's definition of love, but true love, biblical love. Joy. There's something about the joy we have in Christ. Amen? You ever have someone tell you, how can you be joyful in a situation like this, that, or the other thing? Where does that joy come from? It doesn't come from me. It comes from deep down inside. It comes from Christ. And joy in the Lord is not based in circumstance. And lastly, and maybe most, not a truth that is relative to your experiences or your emotions at the season you're in, but an objective truth based in the unchanging word of God. This is where our truth comes from. Jesus says, I am the way, the and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Do you know the greatest truth you need to believe this morning is that Jesus is the only way. He says, I am the truth. I'm truth manifest, the truth of God. And if you will trust in that, you will have eternal life. You see, we must not send them away hungry, full of only our human opinions and ideas. We must feed them the amazing truth of God's word. As followers of Christ, we have an amazing truth and reality that lives within us. And that is the truth that Christ died and rose again for the payment of the sins of those who would believe. That any who would call upon him, Lord, can and will be saved. When we determine that no matter what the person says about this or that topic, that no matter what the person says about this or that belief, this or that political opinion, that if they do not have Jesus, then they are hungry and we can feed them. We can give them something to eat. And where do we start with that? Well, that God desires for them to come to know him. That God desires for them to be saved. Those that are hungry and are starving in our world today, watch as we sit at a banquet table and gorge ourselves on the truths of God. and we won't even give him a crumb. Because we're more content to feed ourselves on the truth of God's word than to realize that we need to take what we've been given and give it to others. And I think this morning, as we pull up to the communion table, as we sit and we remember what Christ did for us, maybe we need to remind ourselves what Christ did for them and that we can give them something to eat. So what do we give them? If we had to summarize it, we give them Jesus. Give them something to eat. What do we give them? We give them Jesus. Jesus said that, didn't he? Drink of my blood, eat of my flesh. The Jews thought that was pretty gross. Amen. I would have been in the crowd like, what did he just say? This guy's great. He seems really interesting. I think I want to follow him. He just told me to eat his flesh. I can't do that. And they left. And then Jesus looks at his disciples and says, will you guys leave too? Man, what a convicting statement. Could you imagine the disciples are sitting there watching the crowd leave and they're like, these guys, they don't get it. These guys aren't, they're not in it for the long haul. They're little walking away. And Jesus goes, that's fine. What are you guys going to do? You're going to stay or you're going to go? And of course, in an arrogance, they basically say what? We're not going anywhere. Peter says, great. You have the keys of life. Where would we go? Man, Peter, if you've only remembered that here in a short season. Because a little girl, teenage girl by a fire said, aren't you with him? And he goes, I don't even know him. You know what Jesus was telling them? Are you going to go away? The answer is yes, you will. You will leave just like them. Maybe not right now, but sooner or later, you'll drift. Man, we give them Jesus because Jesus is what they need. He is the one that died on the cross for our sins. He is the one whose blood was shed as a payment for your sin. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. He did all of that. Jesus alone truly satisfies. He fills us completely. Again, have you ever been at a meal and you've left that table just absolutely satisfied? If you eat Chinese food for lunch, you're going to be really satisfied for about 45 minutes. About 2 o'clock, you'd be like, why am I so hungry? But have you ever left a meal and you're just satisfied, you're just content? We've had those experiences. And in a spiritual sense, this is exactly what Christ offers us, to fill us to the point of being satisfied. The feeding of the 5,000 is the only miracle of Christ that is recorded in all 4 Gospels. It is a powerful testimony to the authority Christ has over all of creation, as well as a tremendous testimony to the compassion of Christ for those who hunger. In John's account of the feeding of the 5,000, right after he records that miracle, he records an amazing interaction of Christ with the crowd. In the passage, we discover that Christ shares that not only is he the one who fills us completely, but he is the bread of life. He is the bread of life. Go with me, if you will, to John's Gospel, chapter 6. Matthew, if you're going to the right of God's word, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then the Gospel of John. So as you're turning towards the back of your copy of God's word or scrolling there, John chapter 6, verse 25. John chapter 6 and verse 25. So the beginning of John chapter 6 is the feeding of the 5,000. And then we see Jesus walking on the water, another miracle. Again, read it on your own, but it's an amazing account of what Jesus demonstrates as the God of all creation. John chapter 6, look at verse 25. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, what shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. Do you know the key? How do I possibly do what God wants me to do? How do I do the works of God? Here's the simplicity. Here's the summary statement. Just believe on Jesus Christ. Just believe on the one who sent, or who the Father sent, that being Christ. Verse 30. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe? I'm sorry, the feeding of the 5,000, not sufficient sign, and then we'll believe. No, you won't. No. What did Abraham say in Luke's gospel in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus? Even if one rises from the dead, they won't believe. Even if one rises from the dead, they'll still mock God. They'll still doubt God. Well, let me tell you something. 2,000 years ago, someone did raise from the dead. He's the only one to ever do it, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And still today, there are people that say, yeah, I just don't know. Yeah, I'm just not sure. Maybe, you know, if God would just show me himself, if God, I've heard people say this, if God would just show me who he is, he did 2,000 years ago with a virgin death or a virgin birth, a sinless life, a death on a cross, a burial and a resurrection, and then he recorded it in a historically accurate book for you that you can read it anytime you want. But yeah, but if God would just show me something, well, he did. Let's continue. Verse 31, our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily. It basically just means you really need to pay attention to what I'm going to say. This is really important. I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. You think Moses created that manna? No. No, just like my Father gave you the manna, my Father gave you the bread of life, and he sent me. That's why I'm here. Verse 33, for the bread of God is he which comes down from heaven and gives life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. You see, Jesus makes it very clear. Don't work this life away for the meat that perishes, just to fill our physical bellies, the stuff of this world, because we will end up losing our very own soul. However, we are called to trust in the food that leads to eternal life, the food that never rots, the food that always satisfies, the bread of life, that we may never hunger or thirst. Jesus clearly explains that he is the bread of life that comes down from the Father, and anyone that comes to him will not hunger or thirst. When we gorge on the junk food of this world, we will be filled momentarily, but find ourselves emptier than before. However, when we taste and see that God's grace is good, and it is satisfying, and it is all we really need, we will be filled and content in Christ. You see, we give them something to eat, and we give them Jesus. Why? Because Jesus alone truly satisfies. Secondly, and quickly, okay, some of you guys got that. Not, most of you are just really in the spirit. Sorry, I didn't mean to, you know. But so Jesus alone satisfies, and Jesus alone never changes. Jesus alone never changes. You see, he is our only hope. John 6, look at verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will in no wise cast out. Drop down to verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. You see, he is our only hope. He is the only hope because he never changes. He will not lose you. Amen. He will not lose you. He will not lose me. Our hope in eternal life is not based on how he feels about you or I in that moment, but based on the finished work of the cross. It is the will of the Father that those in Christ will remain in Christ. That's what Jesus just said. Those the Father gives me, I will in no wise cast out. I will never cast out one who is truly mine. We are redeemed by Christ and kept by Christ until the day of the redemption of the possession. That's you and I. You are not spiritual car keys that Christ forgets where he put you. He doesn't forget you. Are you? Why aren't you? Can you? Will you? And he is right there with you saying, I know this hurts. I know this is tough, but this is my will, and I will glorify my name through this, and I will actually bless you because of this. And you will come out of this, and you will not smell like smoke. You will go through the fire, and they will testify to my goodness, my grace, as we saw in Daniel with the three Hebrews. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown in the fire for refusing idolatry, they were coming out of that fire in God's will. Through the fire, God sustained them. Again, we give them Jesus because he is our only hope and because he is greater than what we see. Look at verse 41 and 42 of John 6. He is more than what we see. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which comes down from the Father, from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? This can't be right. We know your mom and dad. We remember when we heard about you being born. It was a crazy story. I don't know how much of it I believe, but we knew you. We know you. We know your parents today. Another gospel account says, we know his siblings. We know his brothers and his sisters, and we know you. How can you say you came down from heaven? You're just Jesus of Nazareth. But he is so much more and so much greater than they saw, and he's so much more and so much greater than we even see today. The crowd could not look past the physical Christ and believe that he was so much more. The truth is, Jesus is greater than we will ever know until we see him face to face. We read these stories and we think, that's amazing. That's so amazing that he would do these things and that he would walk on water, that he would feed 5,000, that he would do all these great things. But one day, we will be face to face with our Savior and we will see the nail prints in his hands. And we will see the nail print in his feet. And he will offer to us the joy of the Lord, not because we've earned it, but because of those nail prints and what they purchased for us on the cross. Because he died, he was buried, and he rose again. And one day, as John says, we will see him and be like him. We won't be divine, but we'll have understanding. And I think then we'll truly worship him and what he deserves. See, we worship him today and we praise him and we lift his voice. But let's be really honest for a second. I don't think every single time you gather for church and you sing the song on the screen, you're 1,000% engaged in what you're singing. Your mind's wandering. Your belly's rumbling. Something happened before church you're still dealing with. Something's going to happen after church you're thinking about. Something happened a week ago you're still wrestling with. Your mind is not fully engaged on worshiping him. You're distracted. You don't mean to be. We don't try to be. We come in saying, I'm going to focus this morning. I'm going to really engage today. And then something happens because this side of heaven, he does not have, if we're being honest, our full devotion and attention. But one day in Christ, he will have all of it. And one day, all we'll do is praise him. All we'll do is worship him. And every tribe, tongue, people, and language will shout praises to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we will do it with such joy. We can't imagine this side of heaven because one day we'll realize he's so much greater and so much more than we ever knew. And so we give people Jesus. Why? Because they're hungry. And he doesn't change. He's greater than what we see. We can offer hope to those around us for something better. Not a better life. Not a better car. Not a happier life. What trivial things to offer somebody in the name of Christ. Of course, there's joy and blessings in Christ. But there's also sorrows and tragedies as a follower of Christ. No, we offer them something more. A satisfied life. That no matter what storm comes, we have Jesus. We don't send them away. We give them something to eat. We give them Jesus. Years old. And I'll never forget Pastor Tom, who's the pastor of the church. And I have to say this too. Alex's special, that was awesome. I love Alex's style. It reminds me of, we used to do at the old church, little country church, we used to do revival services and kind of old school stuff. And I love that style. It just takes me back to those times of great worship. And I remember when I was first preaching, Pastor Tom let me preach when I was 16 years old on Sunday nights. I don't know too many preachers that would have done that. It was rough. Praise God, but it was rough. And I remember I was so nervous one of the first times I was preaching. And I never had a problem going long. That was never the issue. He's usually like, cut it off. It's been an hour and a half. No. But I'll never forget one of the times we were talking. And something so simple, but I was so nervous, you know. And he said, you know, it's super easy to think about preaching this way. Just give them Jesus. And I thought, well, yeah, but I got this text and everything. He said, no. Just give them Jesus. At the end of the day, if you give them Jesus, it's the greatest sermon you can ever preach. And that has stayed with me all these many years later, to just give them Jesus. And so you have people in your life that are so hungry. They're so hungry for something more. And you might want to offer them political help, financial help, encouragement, your opinions. Those things are fine at times, but man, the greatest thing they need is Jesus. So give them Jesus. Would you bow your heads with me as we spend a time in invitation before communion? As you bow your heads there where you are, and we prepare to gather for communion, I want to remind us that Jesus is the one who satisfies. Jesus is the one who fills, and he never changes. His promises are eternal. Father, thank you for what you have done and continue to do. Thank you for your word, which lays before us the wonder of who you are. Lord, we may never understand this side of heaven who you truly are, and I understand that, Lord, but we strive to worship you more today, to be fully devoted today, more than we were yesterday, to see that our satisfaction comes from you and you alone. And so, Lord, as we spend this time in invitation, preparing our hearts for communion, I pray if there's anyone here, Lord, that doesn't know you, they'd come to know you today by just receiving you as their Lord and personal Savior, confessing their sins to you in their heart right now, repenting, turning from their sin, and trusting in the finished work of the cross, believing that you died on the cross for them, was buried, and rose again, and putting their faith and trust in you, that you will bring them eternal life. It's not religion. It's no religious activity that saves us. Lord, attending church is great. That doesn't save us. Giving to the church is great. That doesn't save us. Baptism is an amazing work of profession and confession. It doesn't save us. There is only one name given among men whereby you must be saved. Lord Jesus, you said it so clearly. What must we do? And you said, believe on the name of the one who was sent. Whosoever believes in the name of the Lord shall be saved. Just call upon his name. And so, Lord, I pray you do that work today. As Holy Spirit, you draw them to salvation that need to be saved. But for us that are believers today, Lord, as we think about the meal that we're preparing to partake in communion, we think about the meal on Thursday, I pray we realize that we can give those that are hungry the spiritual food they desperately need. Thank you for satisfying us. Thank you for being that bread of life that gives eternal life, that satisfies and is so filling. Lord, forgive us where we've forgotten who you really are. Forgive us where we've pursued things in greater devotion than you. We think it's in our bank account, our relationships, or in our homes. Forgive us, Lord. Help us to repent of that and to realize that all that we have is an extension of your great compassion for us. Father, be glorified in all of this. Work now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand to your feet this morning? As we are led in a song of invitation, would you come and pray if you feel led of the Lord to do so? Maybe you want to come and prepare your heart for communion. Is there a sin issue between you and the Lord that you need to confess and repent of before you partake? Whatever it is that God is doing, would you respond as we sing?